Good afternoon, little children. We have some unexpected events today. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's May 2nd, 2023, and the time is 16:05 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. This is a song written by Neil Young, the Canadian songwriter, and he recorded it in 1978 and released it, as did another singer, Nicolette Larson, also in 1978. And it's called Lot of Love. In 1978, in the spring of that year, I was living in a house with seven people total, including me, on 96 Division Street in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. That house, even today, looks exactly as it did then. It might even be in better condition, partly because it's an heritage house from the Victorian era. And it appears that it's been very well maintained in the years since 1978. I had at one point thought, and I told somebody that I'd moved there, sorry, Shelley, in the year 1978 in the fall until the spring of 1979, but that was wrong. I moved there in 77 in the fall and left in the spring of 78. That was my third year at Queen's University. So I'm glad to straighten that out. But this is the year when this song was released. So that means the first time I heard it, I would have been living in this house, which is odd because I remember, in my recollection, I seem to remember having heard it while I was living in the Queen's University residence in second year, or maybe one of the two first years when I lived there, which was year one and year two of my university stay. But it's just the way the brain associates memories, so that because I listened to a lot of Hit Parade songs. By the way, this was number one on the easy listening Billboard in the U.S. Greatest hits, you know, the hit songs, pop songs that are number one on the charts are exceptional, right? I mean, this is really, really top grade, the best. And that is one of them right there. That's a number one hit. And it was the same in Canada. Exactly the same, number one. And it was not her song, of course. It was, I mean, it wasn't written by her. It was written by Neil Young. But, the point is how good the song is, but and how well she performs it. That's the point here. Her exuberance. And we didn't have video. I mean, this was audio only. And what we saw just now, for those of us who are not sighted, we saw a video which is very well synchronized, except for example, the flute was not playing the same thing, or wasn't playing the same notes as in the original recording to which we were listening. And although Nicolette's singing was extremely well synchronized, it was probably an attempt by the band, by Nicolette Larson and her group of musicians, whoever they were, whether they were the same ones who recorded the original or not, we don't know. But it was probably an attempt by her to make a video that looked like it was the actual recording taking place. But of course it wasn't. But the recording that we heard just now was the original recording. I remember every detail. It was the original recording that we heard on the radio. Of course, it's much better quality hearing it now than, you know, on YouTube than it was on the radio. In this case, because it was a faithfully recorded song transferred, you know, into digital format. And also, this is the official video for that song. That's the official video for the song. Nicolette Larson died in 1997. She died at the age of 45. So she was about 26 years old at this time, born in 1952. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, I'm just redoing the 26-year-old calculation. So, but she died at the age of 50. How old is that? Let's see. That's not 50-something, is it? Wait a minute. Born in 50. She died at 40, age of 40. She died in 1997. I believe. Well, I've got the information here. We can look it up. We can look it up. Just briefly, I want to look it up. Can I actually get back there? It's a long ways to go. A lot of tabs here. There she is, somewhere back here. Okay, which is this one? Is this her? That's Istanbul. The film Istanbul. That was the name of the film. From 1957, that was the first release of that song. It came out even before the album version of it, recorded by Nat King Cole, the song we heard yesterday, called, what was it called? I the exact wording of it. When I Fall in Love? Yeah, When I Fall in Love, that's it. When I Fall in Love, that's the name of the song. This one, this is Nicolette Larson. That's Wikipedia. Yeah, she died in 1997. Born. So she was 45. That's not. Oh, that is right. Yeah, 45. Okay, that's right. I was thinking that was wrong. For some reason, 42, or, I mean, 97 minus 52 seemed like more than 45 years. But I mean, it seemed like 40-something, but it didn't seem like 45 for some reason. Sometimes the brain does unusual things, even though I've done many, so many calculations in my head or during my life. Still, these occasional glitches happen. We tabulated the year 23 lunar date of Thutmose III in the article The Crucible of Credible Creed for the sixth pharaoh in the Iron Furnace table in the middle of paragraph 911 of that article as May 12th, 1468 BCE. According to the NASA moon phase tables, but that would be Fred Espenac, new moon fell a few hours before the commencement of the day, May 12th. Thus, May 12th, 1468 BCE is the true lunar day one for that month. The Egyptian calendar date given is Paschen 21, year 23. The year 24 date was a foundation ritual, typically on new moon or soon thereafter, given as Mikir 30. This being calendar February 20th, 1466 BCE, again, just a few hours after the new moon of February 19th, according to Fred Espenac. This makes it, too, a valid first day of that new month. In contrast, the lower chronology, which makes 1479 BCE, year 1 of Thutmose III, has the year 23 date as lunar day 1, and the year 24 date as the day before lunar day 1. Thus, it does not permit of as certain an acceptance as the blessed genealogy, since the waning moon was a bad omen to the Egyptians. On February 17, 1455, the moon is 33 hours before conjunction and should be easily visible under average conditions. That would be the year 24 of starting in 1479 as year 1. And Mikir 30 as February 17th in 1455 BCE. A very old moon, since it's 33 hours before conjunction. It's still, however, it's still a very old moon. It's only that much away from a new moon. Would be a day unlikely to host a foundation ceremony. Thus, for the Battle of Megiddo, 1468 BCE has a higher probability of being a true date than 1457 BCE. And there's more analysis given in the footnote there. The two footnotes, actually. I'm trying to find where to see. There it is there, yeah. Footnote number two begins right, well, you can't see it very easily right about here, where the cursor is moving around here. So the calculations are explained a little bit more in detail there. But this is very technical material, so we're not going to cover it right now for a general audience. So that's that. Now, our proverb now, little children. But, I mean, this song by Nicolette Larson, the reason I thought it was so important is because it has stayed with me all these years. I've always had a very positive feeling about this song. It's about love, first of all, and the what's the word? Exuberance of Nicolette Larson, the way she sings it, and also her voice is rather unique too. It's rather you Yeah, it's unusual. It's rather unusual in that it has certain raspiness to it, and yet it's got a lot of, she sounds almost like a very technically well-trained singer, as well as being a very heartfelt singer, where you can really feel what she's feeling when she's singing. It's such a marvelous song, and the way it's performed and recorded and everything. Of course, the instrumentation is good too. It's really well done. The flute, the saxophone. I've listened to it many times today, and it's quite remarkable. So Proverbs 29 and verse 6, in the transgression of a bad man, there is a snare. But he that is righteous cries out joyfully and is glad. It's a powerful scripture. So when bad things happen, we don't have to be ensnared by it. We can cry out joyfully and be glad. And that's a way to escape that snare. That's what that is advising us. Next, the reading from Exodus 14. Oh, this is a very, very important chapter in the book of Exodus, as chapter 12 was also, talking about the beginning of the months for the Israelites, talking about the Passover, and talking about exactly how many years Israel, the sons of Israel, spent in Egypt. And in Canaan, as it said, in Egypt and in Canaan, from the year, as we calculate in the genealogy, 1923 BCE, the beginning of that 430 years. Jehovah now spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel that they should turn back and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in view of Baal-zephon. In front of it you are to encamp by the sea. Then Pharaoh will certainly say, respecting the sons of Israel, they are wandering in confusion in the land. The wilderness has closed in on them. So I shall indeed let Pharaoh's heart become obstinate, and he will certainly chase after them. And I shall get glory for myself by means of Pharaoh and all his military forces. And the Egyptians will certainly know that I am Jehovah. Accordingly, they did just that. Later, it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had run away. Immediately, the heart of Pharaoh, as well as his servants, was changed regarding the people, so that they said, what is this we have done, in that we have sent Israel away from slaving for us? So he proceeded to make his war chariots ready, and he took his people with him. And he proceeded to take 600 chosen chariots, and all the other chariots of Egypt, and warriors upon every one of them. Thus Jehovah let the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, become obstinate. Really? And he went chasing after the sons of Israel while the sons of Israel were going out with uplifted hand. And the Egyptians went chasing after them, and all the chariot horses of Pharaoh and his cavalrymen and his military forces were overtaking them while camping by the sea by Pi-hahiroth in view of Baal-zephon. When Pharaoh got close by, the sons of Israel began to raise their eyes, and here the Egyptians were marching after them. And the sons of Israel got quite afraid and began to cry out to Jehovah. And they proceeded to say to Moses, is it because there are no burial places at all in Egypt that you have taken us here to die in the wilderness? What is this that you have done to us in leading us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness. Then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians whom you do see today, you will not see again. No, never again. Jehovah will himself fight for you. and you yourselves will be silent. Jehovah now said to Moses, why do you keep crying out to me? Speak to the sons of Israel that they should break camp. As for you, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and split it apart that the sons of Israel may go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, here I am letting the hearts of the Egyptians become obstinate that they may go in after them and that I may get glory for myself by means of Pharaoh and all his military forces, his war chariots and his cavalrymen. And the Egyptians will certainly know that I am Jehovah when I get glory for myself by means of Pharaoh, his war chariots, and his cavalrymen. Then the angel of the true God, who was going ahead of the camp of Israel, departed and went to their rear, and the pillar of cloud departed from their van and stood in the rear of them. So it came in between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. On the one hand, it proved to be a cloud together with darkness. On the other hand, it kept lighting up the night. And this group did not come near that group all night long. Moses now stretched his hand out over the sea, and Jehovah began making the sea go back by a strong east wind all night long and converting the sea basin into dry ground. And the waters were being split apart. At length, the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land while the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians took up the pursuit. And all the horses of Pharaoh, his war chariots and his cavalrymen, began going in after them into the midst of the sea. And it came about during the morning watch that Jehovah began to look out upon the camp of the Egyptians from within the pillar of fire and cloud. And he went throwing the camp of the Egyptians into confusion. And he kept taking wheels off their chariots so that they were driving them with difficulty. And the Egyptians began to say, let us flee from any contact with Israel, because Jehovah certainly fights for them against the Egyptians. Finally, Jehovah said to Moses, stretch your hand out over the sea, that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, their war chariots, and their cavalrymen. Moses at once stretched his hand out over the sea, and the sea began to come back to its normal condition at the approaching of morning. All the while, the Egyptians were fleeing from encountering it, but Jehovah shook the Egyptians off into the midst of the sea, and the waters kept coming back. Finally, they covered the war chariots and the cavalrymen belonging to all of Pharaoh's military forces and who had gone into the sea after them. Not so much as one among them was let remain. As for the sons of Israel, they walked on dry land in the midst of the seabed, and the waters were for them a wall on their right hand and on their left. Thus, on that day, Jehovah saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel got to see the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel also got to see the great hand that Jehovah put in action against the Egyptians, and the people began to fear Jehovah and put faith in Jehovah and in Moses, his servant. End of Exodus 14. Note here, not so much as one among them was let remain. Verse 28, so Pharaoh died also. Very important point, because we don't know yet of any mummy for Pharaoh Thutmose I. So the body of Thutmose I evidently was never found. Was there another point that I wanted to make here? Let me see. Oh, yes, the obstinacy of Pharaoh. He was obstinate before. And then we saw, then he decided, okay, you can all leave, go. And then he changes his mind again. And how can he be... I mean, this is more than obstinacy. This is something else beyond obstinacy, surely. But it's called obstinacy because evidently there was no word. And to this day, there's no word yet that equates to the meaning we're looking for beyond obstinacy. What else could we study here? I think we could look. There was a reading I made. Yes, in Exodus 12. There was something where it said, There was something where I read something incorrect where I said, on this very day, or on this day. Oh, maybe it was in my article. I think it was in the article. Yeah, yes it was. Yes it was. Let's look. It wasn't in that chapter where I'm talking about right now this misreading that I made. Let's look it up. Yes. Let's look up. Let's search for that. If I just search for that. Command F is how you do a search in a lot of applications. If I search for to this day. Right. That's where I misread. At the end of chapter 7. I had read this, which stands as a witness to the force of the prophecy of this day, I believe I read. Whereas it should have said, which stands a witness to the force of the prophecy to this day in the cave on Jebel Megara, which was a reading from one of the notes or one of the points that was written by Charles Forster in the book Israel in the Wilderness, 1865, pages 57 to 60. That was the mistake I made in my reading, which I realized afterward and just remembered now. So we have one more thing to read, and I want to make it something a little different today. Little children, it's going to be Luke chapter 2. And you see I haven't prepared it here, but I prepared it in the text, the hard copy. That's what we call it. A hard copy. I read the hard copy. Luke chapter 2 reads, "Now in those days a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus for all the inhabited earth to be registered." We've read parts of Luke chapter 1 talking about the division of Abijah and how we use that knowledge to arrive at an accurate timing for the birth of Jesus when we were talking about that particular matter. So we've used this, I've talked about this a number of times, Luke chapter 1, so we're skipping that chapter right now. And also because it's about John the Baptist, this is about our Lord Jesus. This first registration took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all people went traveling to be registered, each one to his own city. Of course, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to David's city, which is called Bethlehem, because of his being a member of the house and family of David, to get registered with Mary, who had been given him in marriage as promised, at present heavy with child. While they were there, the days came to the full for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her son, the firstborn, and she bound him with cloth bands and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the lodging room. There were also in that same country shepherds living out of doors and keeping watches in the night over their flocks. And suddenly Jehovah's angel stood by them, and Jehovah's glory gleamed around them. And they became very fearful. But the angel said to them, "Have no fear, for look, I am declaring to you good news of a great joy that all the people will have, because there was born to you today a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, in David's city. And this is a sign for you. You will find an infant bound in cloth bands and lying in a manger." And suddenly there came to be with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory in the heights above to God, and upon earth peace among men of good will." So when the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us by all means go clear to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which Jehovah has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary as well as Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been spoken to them concerning this young child. And all that heard marveled over the things told them by the shepherds. But Mary began to preserve all these sayings, drawing conclusions in her heart. Then the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and saw, just as these had been told them. Now when 8 days came to the full for circumcising him, his name was also called Jesus, the name called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Also, when the days for purifying them according to the law of Moses came to the full, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to Jehovah, just as it is written in Jehovah's law, "Every male opening a womb must be called holy to Jehovah, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of Jehovah, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And look, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was righteous and reverent, waiting for Israel's consolation, and Holy Spirit was upon him. Furthermore, it had been divinely revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ of Jehovah. Under the power of the Spirit, he now came into the temple, and as the parents brought the young child Jesus in to do for it according to the customary practice of the law, he himself received it into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, sovereign Lord, you are letting your slave go free in peace according to your declaration. Because my eyes have seen your means of saving that you have made ready in the sight of all the peoples, a light for removing the veil from the nations and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother continued wondering at the things being spoken about it. Also, Simeon blessed them, but said to Mary, its mother, "Look, this one is laid for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign to be talked against. Yes, a long sword will be run through the soul of you yourself, in order that the reasonings of many hearts may be uncovered." Now there was Anna, a prophetess, Phanuel's daughter of Asher's tribe. This woman was well along in years and had lived with a husband for 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow, now 84 years old, who was never missing from the temple, rendering sacred service night and day with fastings and supplications. And in that very hour, she came near and began returning thanks to God and speaking about the child to all those waiting for Jerusalem's deliverance. So when they had carried out all the things according to the law of Jehovah, they went back into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the young child continued growing and getting strong, being filled with wisdom, and God's favor continued upon him. Now his parents were accustomed to go from year to year to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he became 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival and completed the days. But when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not notice it. Assuming that he was in the company traveling together, they covered a day's distance and then began to hunt him up among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem, making a diligent search for him. Well, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers and listening to them and questioning them. But all those listening to him were in constant amazement at his understanding and his answers. Now, when they saw him, they were astounded. And his mother said to him, "Child, why did you treat us this way? Here, your father and I, in mental distress, have been looking for you." But he said to them, "Why did you have to go looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in the house of my father?" However, they did not grasp the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued subject to them. Also his mother carefully kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus went on progressing in wisdom and in physical growth and in favor with God and men. That's the end of Luke chapter 2 and the end of today's study. So what happened today that really disrupted everything was I received two packages. They came in the mail and I went to pick them up. And I was very, very blessed because there just happened to be a window when we weren't going to see rain for a couple of hours. So I hopped on my bike and I went out and I got the two items, one of which is the Weishi 1900 time grapher. And I've used it on three of my watches to detect the different parameters, such as the amplitude, beat error. You have to set the lift angle to get the amplitude correct. But then there's the beat error, which was pretty good. It's below 0.5, which is supposed to be in milliseconds for all the watches I tested. And although it produces some strange results sometimes, but you can also turn up the amplitude. Not the amplitude. You can turn up the sensitivity of the microphone, you know, on the device, and that will help eliminate some of the problems sometimes. So what happened? I've got this new watch. I'd like to show it to you. Where is it? Where have I put it? Here. It's exciting. You know what's exciting about this? You know what's exciting about this, children? And friends, you know what? I think this is exciting because I was just trying. I forgot to do the calculation, but I think it's just about 99.9% discounted compared to the Rolex after which this was made in homage. There's a Rolex watch called a Day Date. It looks exactly like this, but it's a Rolex, whereas this is a Pagani Designs watch with an ST16 movement in it, which is made by Seagull. It's another Seagull movement, similar to Gully, the same company, that is. It's not the same movement because this is not a chronograph and it has a day of the week display at the top, just like the Rolex to which it's an homage. See that at the very top? There's the day of the week, and then it has the date of the month or the day of the month here with a magnifier over top of it. Maybe you can even read that. It's probably mirror image, but it says number 2. And it's a beautiful Tiffany blue dial, which is a sunburst. It's a copy of the Rolex, but this costs $138. Now, would you believe it if I told you that the Rolex to which this is an homage and of which this is a replica costs about $100,000 Canadian? That's true. Whereas this is $138 Canadian. And does pretty much exactly what the Rolex watch does. It does exactly what it does. And I put it on the time grapher and it was something like plus two seconds per day in the dial-up position. I don't know what it's going to do when I'm wearing it because it was minus 13 or something seconds or minus 20 seconds in the crown up position, crown up being with the crown of the watch facing upwards and the dial in the vertical plane. Whereas the dial up is just like it sounds. The dial is in the horizontal plane facing up. And there's sometimes is a bit of a difference when you put dial down too, in terms of how many seconds per day the watch will gain or lose. It usually runs fastest in the dial up or dial down position, and it usually runs slowest in the crown up position, such as like that, crown up. So I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be putting this watch on my wrist now. I was able to remove a certain number of links. 7 links I think I removed from this watch. But these are smaller sized links than most most of the watch bands that I have, the bracelets, usually have bigger, wider links than this, or longer links. It's a beautiful bracelet, too. This came with the watch. $138. It's got, you know, the only thing... Well, the other thing is it's a milled clasp. That's very... I've never owned a milled clasp. For $138, I got a milled clasp. Usually it's a stamped clasp stamped out of metal. This is milled out of metal. Much more work involved in milling it than stamping it. And yet, the clasp itself doesn't feature any locking mechanism, which is unfortunate because it could come apart. And look at the back of this. It has a beautiful glass on the back where you can see the operation, the mechanism running inside the watch. Maybe you can see that. Yeah, you can. I believe you can see that if you're sighted. You can just see that the balance wheel is going back and forth there at the top of the picture inside the watch. So you can see that. It's beautiful. It's an homage to the Rolex day date, which is priced at very near $100,000 Canadian. But this watch, I must repeat, cost $138 Canadian on AliExpress. You don't pay tax when you buy from a foreign country. There was free shipping. I call that a bargain. I don't know what you would call it. Anyway, I happen to know that the movement, the ST16, is it's certainly not as good as some of the Swiss movements, but it may be approaching the quality that we expect from the Swiss movements. It's just because it's made in China, we don't have enough of a track record to say how good this movement really is. But because it's so inexpensive, you could replace the movement in a few years' time if you needed to, or in 10 years' time, however long. You could replace the movement because the movements don't cost a lot being made in China. So this is a really, really, really unbelievably good bargain. I just can't express enough. Now, you know, I can't express enough how good of a bargain it is, but I'm also, I have to say, it's not necessarily going to be my favorite watch in my collection, because I have other day date watches. Mind you, they don't show the whole, this watch shows the day of the week in its entirety. The full word is spelled out. I don't have any like that, but I do have other day date watches, and at least two of them anyway, but one of which I'm wearing. So let's call that the end of the study now. And the end of our discussion, the end of our get-together. I love you very much, little children. Have a wonderful day. I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you for listening and watching. And may God be good to you, as He always is, regardless of what your particular beliefs are. God is, of course, good to us all, because He knows that we are His creation, and He gives us rains for our crops and things that will help us. Every single day the sun rises so that we have the benefit of the sunshine. He gives us many things. And may we appreciate how the calling of Jesus was in him from a very young age. He was called to serve God from a very young age, as we saw in our reading today in Luke chapter 2. So, for me, it's Cami, another of my day date watches, and Phoebe, a beautiful Russian watch. This is a Japanese movement, the F6822 in the Orient Cami watch. And this is a 24/16 Russian movement in the Russian watch Phoebe. So, Cammie and Phoebe are saying bye for now.